You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Head out on a hike and you can bring any number of guidebooks with you. Something about wildflowers, a guide to the critters you run into. Well, in many ways, Boulder geologist Lon Abbott's new book is a guide to time. Take it with you and you'll get a sense for the millions of years of pressure and erosion and force that made, say, Pikes Peak, that made Pikes Peak what it is today. Abbott's guidebook is called Geology Underfoot. When he's not writing books to teach this stuff to the general public, he's in a classroom at CU Boulder. Hi, Lon. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
There are a lot of answers in this book. Why rivers in Colorado flow the way they do, how the red rocks of red rocks came to be. But you start out with, an admission that there's one big thing you don't know. What is it?
Well, really, Ryan, we don't know exactly when the Rocky Mountains that you see when you look out your window formed.
You don't know when they formed?
We don't. We know that there was an episode of mountain building. Geologists call it the Laramide orogeny, and orogeny is a term geologists use for a mountain building event that happened around 65 million years ago. But we don't know if the Rockies we see today are from that event or if they are from a different event that happened more recently.
Hmm. I wonder why the Rockies are where they are. Why aren't they 50 miles further east or something?
That's a great question, Ryan. And actually, I guess I would turn it around and say the big puzzle is not why the Rockies are 50 miles further east, but rather why they're as far east as they are. Most mountain ranges form very near to a tectonic plate boundary. And the nearest plate boundary that we have today is the San Andreas Fault in California. Huh. And so by rights, we would expect the Rockies to be more in where Nevada or California is rather than so far from the plate boundary all the way here in Colorado.
Another mystery.
It is indeed. It's a mystery that's plagued geologists for some time.
There are theories, though, as to why the Rockies are where they are. And it has something to do with the fact that pressures as far away as California could actually have affected land here.
Yep, that's totally accurate.
What is the relationship?
The relationship between the pressures at the plate boundary in California and Colorado are that one plate where they're converging will slide underneath the other one. It's a process geologists know of as subduction. And that normally occurs very steeply down into the earth, and it only affects the surface near the plate boundary.
It would be like a diver just going straight down into a pool, and so the troubled water would be pretty concentrated around the diver who hits the pool.
I think that's a perfect way to describe it, Ryan, yes. But between maybe about 80 million and 40 million years ago, we think that the angle of that plate going down shallowed considerably, and so that affected a much broader area. So if you think about the Olympics diving, the ones who get the best score are the ones who ruffle the water the least. So this would be a non-Olympic caliber diver who's ruffling the water far away.
And the angle has grown, in other words, of the subduction, and so it's affecting a wider area.
Exactly.
Okay. You say in this book that the answer to the question of the Rockies, why they rose as they did and when they rose, has huge implications for the rest of the world.
Well, I think what I would say is that what we as scientists strive to do is come up with general ideas of how things work, and then you go and you look around the world and you see, oh, that same process is functioning in other places. And so the fact that the Rockies, if you were to go around the world looking for the most puzzling mountain range you could find, an awful lot of people would vote for the Colorado and Wyoming Rockies as one of the most puzzling. And so if we can figure out what processes caused our mountains to exist, that's going to tell us something more fundamental about the way mountains in general work around the world.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're talking about the new book, Geology Underfoot, Along Colorado's Front Range. It's written by Lon Abbott, along with science writer Terry Cook. Lon teaches at CU Boulder, and it really is a guide to what is underneath you when you're hiking. Let's get to stuff you do know concretely. You write about one of the most iconic peaks in Colorado, maybe even the country. That's Pikes Peak, the inspiration for America the Beautiful, right?
Yes, it is.
And it turns out that it is exceptional geologically as well as historically.
Yes, Pikes Peak is unusual in that the granite rock that makes it up is about 1,100 million years old. And there's no other body of rock in Colorado of that age.
That's that old?
Well, we have rocks that are older, and we have rocks that are younger.
It's like Pikes Peak is in its own unit of time.
Yes, that's right.
Why is that exceptional? Why should we care? I hate to put it that way, but that's how I'm going to put it, Lon.
Fair enough. The fact that Pikes Peak is 1,100 million years old is probably not going to make an earth-shaking difference for the average public. But for geologists, 1,100 million years ago was a formative time in the history of plate tectonics. It was a time when all of the continents were assembling together into what we call a supercontinent.
Pangaea.
Well, Pangaea is the one that most people know of, but this actually predates Pangaea. So Pangaea was just the last rendition of something that had happened repeatedly in the past, and the predecessor supercontinent to that was called Rodinia, and it formed around 1,100 million years ago when the Pikes Peak granite was formed.
I love how you connect geology to the city. You know, a lot of the most recognizable buildings in Denver, for example, are made out of rock from the mountains nearby. And you include some examples of, transported geology or geology made into buildings all around town. What's a favorite example?
One in the book is the Trinity Church in downtown Denver, and it, along with many other buildings in the Denver area, are made out of a rock called the Wall Mountain Tuff. And the Wall Mountain Tuff is pretty interesting. It was erupted by a gigantic volcano about 36 million years ago. Colorado doesn't have much in the way of volcanoes now, but 36 million years ago, Colorado was on fire. There were volcanoes all over the place, and there was a big one somewhere near Buena Vista, and it erupted in one of the largest volcanic eruptions known, actually, and it sent out a wall of ash that's called an ash flow that rolled all the way down to the Castle Rock area. And some of the buttes that you see when you drive from Denver to Colorado Springs on I-25, those buttes are capped with this resistant rock called the Wall Mountain Tuff. And many of those buttes were quarried to make building stone. And so you see that in a lot of buildings around Denver.
This is what I love about this book, is that it's possible to walk around in such ignorance of all of the forces that have allowed you to be where you are. I guess I wonder if your mind is always running this way. Is it possible for you to step out of your home and not think, okay, I'm now stepping on something that used to be a volcano. I'm stepping on something that was this. I'm stepping on something that was that.
Ryan, you actually hit it on the head. It's tough for me and most geologists to see the world with the same eyes. Every time we step out of our door, we're inquiring to the deep history of the Earth, because the rocks really speak to us if we just know the language that they're speaking.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Ryan. I really appreciate it.
CU Boulder geologist Lon Abbott is the author of Geology Underfoot Along Colorado's Front Range. His co-author is science writer Terry Cook.